Let me ask you then to take Bible in hand. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. From the New International Version, because it does an excellent job translating this, verse 8, verse 9, and verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul, "We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body." The Apostle Paul is literally being bombarded by trials. And in describing these trials to us, the Apostle Paul uses four expressions to describe the nature of these trials. He uses four expressions to describe the nature of exactly what it is he's going through. Look at verse 8. First of all, he says, "We are hard pressed on every side." Not just pressed, but hard pressed. Not just hard pressed in one area, but hard pressed on every side. The expression that he uses there, he's talking about his enemies who are coming at him from every side and from every way. The trials are affecting him physically. But the trials are also, they're pressuring him mentally. They're pressuring him emotionally. They're even pressuring him spiritually. Back in the opening chapter of this book, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, Paul said that there was a time when we were in the province of Asia that we could not even stand up and bear what was happening to us. The apostle goes on to say in that chapter, he said, "We believe that the sentence of death had been passed on to us." In other words, he said we were in that situation and we thought that life was just over. Hard pressed on every side. The second expression he used was perplexed. We are perplexed. Brethren, listen to me. The word perplex that Paul used, that word isn't describing what's going on in his body. That word is describing what's going on in his mind. That word is talking about a time of great uncertainty to him. That word is talking about a time of great anxiety in his life. In that word, he is describing a time when you just you're so overwhelmed by life that you don't know what you're supposed to do next and you don't know how you're supposed to do it. Have you ever been there? He said, I'm hard pressed on every side. There's no part of me that isn't under pressure here. My mind is perplexed. The third expression he used to describe the nature of his trials is he says, I'm persecuted. Persecuted. The word, again, that he used, persecuted here, he's having reference to his enemies who are tracking him down to persecute him, but literally they are tracking him down in order to kill him. They're trying to kill me. In Acts chapter 23, there were a group of men who got together and made a vow. The vow they made is that those men said, we are never going to eat food again, and we are never going to take drink again until we kill the Apostle Paul. And in verse 13 of Acts 23, we are told that there were more than 40 men who took that vow. Our lips will never touch food or drink till he is dead. The fourth expression Paul uses to describe his bombardment of trials. He said, I'm struck down. That two-word phrase means the enemy is standing over you and the enemy is about to deliver the fatal blow to end your life. Watch the text here. Watch the text here. These four expressions, hard pressed on every side, perplexed, persecuted, struck down, all four of these expressions present themselves in this passage in a present tense form. Here's what that means. What that means is that Paul said, I am constantly being hard pressed on every side. What he's saying is that I am continually perplexed in my mind. What he's saying is that my enemies in persecuting me, this is an ongoing thing. They just keep coming and they just keep coming. He says this idea of me being struck down, he said this is a constant thing. These four expressions were happening and then they were ongoing in their happening. But now listen to me. The text goes on. Listen to me. Thank God. Thank God that for the Christian, God gives us the but not. The but not. Look at verse 8 and verse 9. Every time you see the expression but not, underline it. Verse 8. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. What you have going here in the passage are pairs, and there's four pairs here. These pairs This is what the world is putting on him. This is what the devil is putting on him. But the other pair is revealing what God is doing to help him and to hold back what Satan is trying to do. Listen to me. These four expressions of what but not God is doing, these four expressions in this passage are also in a present tense form. The devil keeps trying to kill me, but God keeps stopping him. And what Paul says in this passage is that as long and as consistent as the devil is to get me, that God will be just as consistent to stop him when he wants to. So what does all this mean? What does all this mean? Brethren, what all this means is that the world is going to knock you down. The world is going to knock you down. But by the sustaining power of Almighty God, the world cannot knock you out unless you lay there. You hear me? The devil is going to put you on your knees. You're going to feel so bad, you're going to think you're going to die, and then you're going to feel so bad, you're going to wish you was dead. But God will keep the devil from knocking you out. Knocked down, but not knocked out. You know what's amazing? And here's where you see this. When you start going through the Bible, and when you see how many of the greats were knocked down, but who refused to be knocked out. It's amazing to see how many of the greats in this book were brought down, but who refused to be knocked out. There was Jeremiah. God, listen to this. God told Jeremiah, go preach. God told Jeremiah, this is what I want you to preach. Here's what you tell them. And then God said, Jeremiah, understand, when you do what I say and go, and when you say what I tell you to say, Jeremiah, understand, nobody is going to listen to you. How's that for a pep talk? Listen to me. Jeremiah was the most persecuted prophet in the Old Testament. Do you know what kind of statement that is? Jeremiah was mocked, Jeremiah was beaten, Jeremiah was chained, he was made a hiss and a byword, and he was made a derision. And in fact, one time, Jeremiah was knocked to his knees. And in Jeremiah chapter 20, Jeremiah went to God and said, look, I'm done with this. I'm done with this, and I'm done with those people. I'm a derision. They have mocked me all over. I've done what you said. I'm not doing this anymore. Then in verse 9, Jeremiah said, but there was a fire that was burning in my heart, and I could not keep silent. What are you saying? Jeremiah is saying, they knocked me down, but they won't knock me out. Job. God bless Job. And Job needed a blessing from God. Listen. I know your pain is real. I know your trials is bad. But I'm going to tell you something. None of us can imagine even close the calamity that Job went through. Amen. We can't. Job lost his possessions. Job lost his children. Job lost his health. Job lost the loyalty of his friends. Job lost the spiritual help of his wife. And behind the scenes, we know that it's the devil who's laying those licks on Job. And when all of it was done, when all of it was over, Job himself said in Job 13 and in verse 15, Job said to God, though he kills me, I will still trust him. What are you saying, Job? Job is saying, look, you can knock me down, but you're not going to knock me out because I'm getting up. And that's what a lot of us need. We need some getting up in us. The Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians 4, this that we've already been through. Write this down. Say, well, I don't write stuff down. Write this down. Every Christian ought to do an in-depth study of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through the end of that chapter, where Paul talks about what he's gone through. He says, I have received of the Jews 40 lashes, save one. You added up 195 lashes. He said, three times the Romans have taken me, and with rods they have beaten me. Listen to me, 195 lashes and then three beatings with a rod? Listen. What did this man look like when he took his outer cloak off? His back, his torso, what could that have looked like? He said, I was stoned and left for dead. He said, I have been shipwrecked. But then Paul said in Philippians 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What are you saying, Paul? I'm saying you can knock me down, but you're not going to knock me out. None of us, listen to me. None of us are immune to the trials of life. None of us. We're all going to be knocked down. We're all going to get knocked down here. We'll get knocked down by family matters. We'll get knocked down by job matters. We'll get knocked down by heartbreak. We'll get knocked down by health issues. We're all going to get knocked down. But you remember and rise up as these greats of old did. You can knock me down, but you're not going to knock me out. So here's where we're going. It's a fact the devil's going to knock you down. That's just a fact. So what do we do to keep from being overcome by what happens to us in life? How do we stop from being overwhelmed by the trials of life? Three things. Number one, develop a positive spiritual attitude. Now, I'm going to tell you something else too. What goes on in the pews? What goes on in the pews is there's all kind of issues out here. There's all kind of hurt. There's all kind of pain. There's this all kind of trouble. And you sit down the pew and you're looking up there and your life is coming apart. Your home is coming apart. You don't know what in the world's going to happen next. And then the guy who stands up here says something like, well, here's what you need to do. You need to develop a positive spiritual attitude. And then he says, now let's move on to the next thing. No. We don't just need to know that. We need to know how to do that. How do I do that? That's what we need to know. My life is broke and some cute statement isn't going to fix it. I need an explanation. You in the right place at the right time. How do I do that? Not just a positive attitude. Look, what does that get you? You need a positive spiritual attitude. How do I get there? I want that. That will help me to keep my life from overwhelming me. Here's how you get it. Number one, you got to know who you are. You got to know who you are. Listen to me. You are a child of God. That's who you are. In 1 John chapter 3 and in verse 1, John says, what great love the Father has lavished on us in that we should be called the children of God. Listen. A positive spiritual attitude begins right here. You get up every morning and you tell yourself, I am a child of God. The God who created the universe. The God who is all powerful. The God who is all knowing. The God who can do anything. That God calls me his child. Know who you are. I'm not a schmuck. I'm a child of God. A positive spiritual attitude. Know who you are. This is who I am. Number two, you got to know why you're here. I don't mean here in this building. I mean you have to know who you are and you have to understand, why am I here? Why am I on this planet? Why did God see fit that I was born? Why am I here? In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, Paul says that whatever you do in word or deed,
do all to the glory of God. Listen, everything you do in word or deed, listen to me, everything we do is either in word or deed. So what does that mean? Here's what it means. It means that the goal of every human achievement is to glorify God. Is to glorify God. Listen, you don't work for Forbes. You work for God. You work for God through Forbes. You don't work for the Detroit Board of Education. You work for God. This is about taking our lives and glorifying God in our lives. Why? Because He is whose we are. I know who I am, and I know whose I am, and I know that what I'm supposed to do is to glorify God. Listen, everything you do, don't look at it about the boss. The boss is God. Glorify God in everything you do. And I'm telling you, if you do that work to glorify God, your boss will be thrilled. Spiritual attitude. A positive spiritual attitude. Number three. You got to accept yourself as God made you. Yes. Listen, God created you. Do you believe that? God created you. But not only did God create you, God equipped you. God, you can call it a talent, you can call it ability, you can call it your function, I don't care what you call it. You have it because God gave it to you. Listen to me, what God wanted you to have is what He gave you. And if He wanted to give you something else, you'd have something else. Your job isn't to change the ability that God gave you. Listen, the goal of all of us is to take what God gave us, you take that thing, work on that thing, define that thing, get it the best we can, and then do it for the glory of God. Look, your best may not be the best, but if it's your best, it'll be God blessed. Know who you are. Who you are. Know why you're here. Accept yourself the way that God made you. Number four, have a spirit of thanksgiving. Do you know, Solomon Sims, do you know what I did this morning? Here's what I did this morning. I got up out of bed and did that. I got up out of bed. I was able to walk around. I was able to get myself together and pull myself together enough to come here. Do you know how many people couldn't get up this morning? Do you know how many people couldn't get themselves together and to come here? You be thankful for what God has done for you. Let me put it like this. Did you ever do something for somebody? I mean, like something real significant. And after you did it, they act like they could have cared less. In fact, you did something significant for somebody, and when you were done, they looked at you like, well, where's the rest of it? Now, were you in a hurry to do something else for them?
everything that God has done for us, and we're not thankful for what God has done, then why should God be interested in giving you something else? In every circumstance, give thanks to God, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. One more, number five. How do you develop this positive spiritual attitude? Learn to be content. Control your "I gotta have it." You ain't gotta have everything you gotta have. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, Paul says, "I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content." Learn to be content. The opposite of being content is complaining. The opposite of being content is whining. Stop whining. Be content with what you have. What am I telling you? I've told you the devil is going to knock you down. But he doesn't have to knock you out. So how do I, when my life is apart, how do I keep from just being totally overwhelmed? Develop a positive spiritual attitude. I know who I am. I know what he wants me to do. I'm doing with my life what he wants me to do. I'm using what he has given me. I'm thankful for it. And bless God, I'm content with it. Quit whining. Number two, how do we keep from being overwhelmed with life? I mean, when it just all is there. Number two, learn the will of God and do it. Now, listen to me. Listen to me. The statement, the will of God, is like the statement in the first one. Everybody talks about it, nobody knows what it is. And if you ask, everybody you ask, you're doing the will of God, I'm doing the will of God. They don't even know what it is. Ain't been to church in 10 years, I'm doing the will of God. No, you're not. So we come and we sit down, and the preacher says, develop a positive spiritual attitude. We think, yeah, that's good. I don't have a clue how to do it, but it sounds good. Then he stands up and he says, well, okay, let's learn the will of God and do it. What does that mean? You laugh with me. Don't laugh at me. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Look at it. Look at it. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father. What does that mean? The general will of God, and by that I mean God's will for every single one of us. Quickly, because I'm way, way late here. Become a Christian. Become a Christian. Jesus said in John 3, unless you are born of water and spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. How can you be in the will of God if you're not in the kingdom of God? Become a Christian. Number two, be faithful. Be faithful. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, be faithful unto death and you will receive a crown of life. Well, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the will of God. This is the will of God for all of us. Number three, forgive. Forgive. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 14 and 15, Jesus said, if you will forgive others when they sin against you, God will forgive you. But if you don't forgive others who sin against you, God will not forgive you. It is the will of God that we become his children, that we remain faithful to him, and we forgive. Forgiveness, if you want some, you got to give some. Well, so-and-so, I know it. And sometimes you'd rather spit than forgive somebody. Amen. Forgive. Number four, love to learn the will of God. Now, how do I do that? You do it by learning the word of God. Brethren, listen to me. The word of God is what reveals to us the will of God. How can I say I'm doing the will of God when I don't know what the word of God says? I don't care how late it is. I'm telling this. This guy who was not a Christian and wasn't religious fell in love with this girl who was a Christian and was religious. So he thought, I got to win her. So he picked up a Bible, which was very foreign to him. And he found the verse, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. 1 John 4 and 18 says, that love casts out fear, and that there is no fear in perfect love. He thought, man, I got this. So he sent her a note, and he wrote that verse out. Perfect love casts out fear. His problem is that he didn't know that there was a John, and then a 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. 1 John 4:18 says that perfect love casts out fear. But instead of writing 1 John 4:18, he simply wrote John 4:18. John 4:18 says, you have been married 5 times, and the woman you're living with now is not the man you're living with now, is not your husband. You can't fake knowing it. That doesn't get you anything. And it sure won't get you married. I gotta go. Number three. What am I supposed to do? Number three. Half of you are mad at me already. Number three. Keep the light burning at the end of the tunnel. How do I keep the world from just overwhelming me? Keep the light burning at the end of the tunnel. I don't know what that means. Here's what that means. Some people wake up every morning, and every morning there is a new disaster in their life. Now, there isn't, but they think there is. And it's negative, and it is, ugh. Listen to me. All that happened to the Apostle Paul that we've gone through, the little we've gone through, the Apostle Paul always kept a light burning at the end of the tunnel. So he comes to the end of his life, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6, and he says that I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at. In other words, I'm dying. This is it. And at the most, a week after he wrote this, he was executed. He said, I'm done. Two verses later, he says this. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me on that day, and not to me only, but to also who love his appearing. What is it? That's the light at the end of the tunnel. that regardless of what happens to me here, regardless of who does it to me here, and regardless of how I am bombarded with all of these trials, it's okay because the light will forever burn at the end of the tunnel. So I'm telling you, be a Christian. Do it well. And there will always be a light at the end of the tunnel. Hard pressed on every side, perplexed, persecuted, struck down. Hallelujah, anyway. You're going to be knocked down, but by the power of God, you won't be knocked out. And when the devil knocks you down, don't you lay there. You get up by the power of God and you keep going. This morning, if you need to respond, God help you to do that right now as together we stand and as we sing.